Good to see everybody here this morning. We are continuing on. I'd say the home stretch now with you. We've got three left. Again, as we talked about, these last three will be sort of personal. Ed Nakester will be more kind of how it resides within. Of course, there'll be plenty of God and our fellow man in these. But faith is one that certainly is personal to each and every one of us, so that will be kind of the thing that we do for these last three. Again, hopefully you've enjoyed this. If not, let's almost go. If you have enjoyed it, I mentioned it to some, but I try to record every Sunday, but I have recorded all of these lessons, so I will have them all available if you're interested. I know most people don't have them anymore, but interested in a CD, I'd be happy to do that. I think I still have the capability to do that, or I'll figure it out one way or the other. But I will have it posted all online on our website. I'll probably do a little box or something on the front page where you can click to it and get all of them. And I'll try to post all my outlines as well. So I know there's been a lot of verses and things like that. So I don't do that a lot, but this particular series, I'll try to do that. So I'll have the audio file and outline there with it. So go back and listen to them again. Which if you didn't like it, you probably won't do that. But I'm just kidding. I enjoyed it, and I hope it's been good for you as well. So this morning, again, we have faith. And we're going to start off this morning, not much of an introduction. I want to hop right in to the lesson this morning. These are going to be your three main points this morning. If you take notes, so go ahead and give these to you again. Kind of done that as a rule of thumb through most of these lessons. These are going to be the three areas we're going to focus on with faith. We're going to use the definitions here to kind of jump us off and kind of lead us in a particular path that I want to go on each of these. So the first one we start off with is fidelity. The definition that we're going to use here this morning for that, meaning the principle of faithfulness, loyalty, and a strict adherence to a pledge, a duty, or an accurate representation. Now, you see the word faithfulness highlighted. Now, I don't mean to be one of those people that drive you crazy when you ask for a definition and they give you the same word as the definition. Don't you hate that? It's like, well, if I knew what faith meant, yeah, I don't need you to say faithfulness, right? But what we're going to do here is use that word faithful in a couple of different, or really just two different ways here, focus on two different things in this. The first off being faithfulness in our relationships. So, again, if we're thinking about a strict adherence to something, that you are staying the course, you're being loyal, I think we understand what all those things mean. So we're going to talk about that in two different aspects. First off, being faithful in our relationship with Christ. Now, this is not always an easy thing. We get weary, we get tested, we get tried, we get tempted. And it's hard to maintain that relationship with Christ to the ability and the level that we want it to be all the time. But as we often do with these lessons, we have examples. And if we go back to our great example, and I apologize about this, I thought about this morning, I should have switched this text to light. It would have shown up a lot better. This red is pretty dark. So apologize for that. Apple, right, this morning, if you remember paying attention last week, Apple were the colors. But I should have changed the text to white, probably really the better. Now, bottom's going to be hard, so I do apologize. But here's our first example of Christ in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 through verse 17. So it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized with him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized with thee, and thou comest to me. Jesus answered, and he said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning came upon him. Axel will stop right here just for a minute. Axel will stop in verse 4. But if we notice here, verse 15, the 13 through 15, Jesus is being baptized. So why? Right? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus is being baptized. He has no sins. He is doing so, as he said, to fulfill all righteousness. He is faithfully obeying the will of God. This is what God has tasked him to do, even though it doesn't appear necessary. Man would say, why are you doing this? This doesn't make sense. This goes against the whole reason we understand to be baptized. But it doesn't matter. What is Christ doing? He's being faithful. He doesn't argue. He doesn't try to barter. He doesn't say, well, you know, God, sprinkling will get it done. Let's just do this and be on our way. He doesn't say, well, there's nothing good about the Jordan. What's so special about the water of the Jordan? He doesn't rationalize in any sort of way. He just simply obeys. That's faith. That's faith. Faithfulness begins with a very small act of obedience. Brother Dwight said, I gave him a very small verse this morning to read. That's because faith starts very small. It starts by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is simply fulfilling the Word of God. It's very small. A lot of times we think faithfulness, and we think these grand big displays, right? Have to drive by Northcrest to do the latest building. Somebody might come back. This grand display, right? Look at me. It doesn't have to be that way. Faithfulness is very simple. It's a simple submission to the will of God above our own. The problem comes in mind. Man wants to understand what? Why? Why? Why do this, God? Why be baptized in this manner? Why through water? Why? Sometimes, most times, it's not for man to know why. It's not for us to reason why, but to do. Now, how does God react to this? Is he pleased? I think so. That's what he says. A voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Faithfulness in this situation and in really all situations. We may not hear it directly from the mouth of God as in this instance, but it leads to affirmation. If we are trying to seek God's pleasure, to seek his goodwill, it rests on us when we are able to patiently submit to his will. That's what he has asked us to do. Now, again, you may be asking, why? Why? Why should we be faithful to God and to Christ? Our identity, who we are, as Christians, is tied into Christ. Here's our favorite little song verse, right? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. So yet I die, but I live. But it's not I, it says. It's Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live now, different from the life before, he says, yes, I live in the flesh, that's the same, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's who we are. Our faith to Christ, to God, is who we are. It's just as similar as if I introduce myself by my real name. Do we think about it in that fashion? Sorry, I skipped this verse. Colossians 3:3 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You yourself, at least the former life, but even this blessed body, it's dead, it's put away. Our life that we live now is in Christ. Can we recognize that? Can we be faithful to that relationship with Christ? Or are we going to be selfish? Do our own will. We're talking about self-control in a few weeks, being able to limit ourselves and control ourselves. But we have to do that with faith on. We have to purposefully say that I'm going to maintain and keep that relationship with Christ. What about with one another? Can we be faithful in our relationships with our fellow man? Let's look at a couple of relationships. What about the husband-wife relationship? Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 22 said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as you have unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of that body. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In turn, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also has loved the church, and he gave himself for it." This is a pattern, isn't it? Submission. Learning to give of your will to someone else, just as we have done so unto Christ. How does this look? What does this play out? Look at verse 28 and 29. He goes on a little further. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, he loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church." That's our example. Is the world abide by this? This idea of marriage here, that's for sure. The world seems to have gone away from this particular brand of marriage. Why is that? Because in the same way that man can't submit themselves to God and be obedient to his will, same reason why they can't be subservient and be obedient to each other in a marriage relationship. The wife doesn't want to be submissive to the husband because the husband doesn't love the wife. It doesn't flow back and forth as it should. About children. Same thing. This is right after the verses we just read. Chapter break for it's man-made, but in chapter 6, it's right the next verse. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Disobedient children. It's a problem. Problem. Parents aren't teaching their children to be faithful, to be loyal, to a strict adherence to things in the home. Kids are just allowed to do whatever. And then we wonder why they don't show the proper faithfulness and respect to their parents. What about outside the home? Say, so, well, I can kind of do what I want when I get out there in the world as far as how I conduct my business and things of that nature. This may kind of be a little foreign, but the principle is there here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 22. Paul said, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." He says, "Don't do so with eye service as men pleasers, but do so in singleness of heart, ultimately fearing God." And you just place that with being faithful to God. Because it comes down, here's the principle, that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's the principle. Everything that you do, do it in a way that you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for man. You go to work, you show up on time, you do a good job, do what you're supposed to do, do what you're told. You're not doing it for man. Yes, your boss will be pleased, you can be happy. But ultimately, you're representing God. You're showing faithfulness to Him, along with being faithful to our fellow man. Verse 24 says, knowing this, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Being faithful in our relationships. Can we have a strict adherence to being loyal, being faithful to Christ and to one another? Justice. Kind of a catchy, trending word in our society right now. Go through this AI to get all manner of things. Here's what we're going to define it as this morning. The fundamental principle of moral rightness, equity, and here's our key phrase, fairness in how people are treated and how laws are applied. Fairness in how people are treated. Again, where's our principle? Right here. Does God show favoritism? Does God pick out one particular group over another? What did Peter tell him in Acts chapter 10? He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him, again, will replace that with faith. And worketh righteousness is accepted with him. We believe this. And do we show this? Look at that just a second. Paul said it again in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. There is no respect of persons with God. Now isn't that something to be thankful for? Aren't we glad that we don't have to be part of a chosen group of people, i.e. Old Testament? How do you think it felt as a Gentile in the Old Testament? Sure, there were those who were faithful to God. Think about how they were talked about. Foreigners, strangers, outsiders. There is no one on the face of this planet that has to be categorized that way when it comes to God. We all have the opportunity. So just like that is the case with God, that certainly should be the case with us. We should not be a respecter of persons. I'll read you a little parable. There's a lot of people who don't like this parable. The world will say that this parable is not fair. The householder didn't do this right. He didn't show proper justice. I'm going to tell you why he did. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, in which he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. This day and time, we look at that. Verse 2, he says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And then he went out about the third hour, and he saw that there were others standing idle in the marketplace. So he goes, and he says to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour, and again the ninth hour, and he did likewise. Now about the 11th hour, he goes out and he finds again others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand you here all day being idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. So now when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call all the laborers, and give them their hire and their wages, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man, every one, a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. But when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Why, they said, they said, these last ones, they have brought but 1 hour. And you have made them equal unto us. Those of us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. He answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take thy this penny and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as I did unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now here's what Jesus connects it for us. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. The householder treated everyone equal. He showed no respect for persons, at least not from his perspective. It's his money, it's his hire, it's his laborers. He agreed with each one to a certain price. Now, the point of this passage is that God is the same way with judgment. God shows no partiality, no respect to persons. The man that comes to Christ on his deathbed is no different than the man who comes to Christ at 14. Does that seem fair? The man that's a Christian for 5 seconds and the man that's a Christian for 80 years gets the same inheritance. Did we look at that? That's the justice of God. Now, can we enact that same justice to our fellow man? Look at what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. Do so with fear and with trembling and singleness of your heart, as you have done unto Christ. Again, here's that same phrase from before. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he will receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. And masters, you do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So it comes down to this. We should behave justly toward our fellow man, just as we would want God to behave justly unto us. We would not want to receive anything less of God. So we should not give unto man any less than what he deserved. What is the will of God? It's just fairness in how we treat our fellow man. Prince and I studied this point about there are individuals who are out there that are less fortunate than we are. they're born with some particular handicap, some disability, something. They deserve nothing less than what any of us receive. God is not going to hold back any less piece of eternal life from them just because of something of this life that they are born with. And the last one this morning. Honesty. The moral principle of truthfulness, integrity, and for us this morning, straightforwardness in speech, behavior, character. I'm going to do this in two ways, right? Our straightforwardness in our speech, which is in what we say. Are we truthful in the things that we say? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, where we start here. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. This is funny. The way he says this, he gives the option for you to just do what? Just be quiet. If any man speak. Parents ever tell you you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all? The principle Peter here says, if you can't say anything truthful, just be quiet. Don't speak. Why is this important? Because people give these excuses, right? People give excuses. God doesn't say, I can't do this. They use the word of God as a crutch. It doesn't say I can't join the church of my choice. God is a loving God. We're all going to make it to the same place. We're just taking different paths. Does that truly line up with the word of God? That's those moments where people just need to be quiet. Jude, verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. He says, I had to write unto you. You needed to understand that you have to diligently, earnestly continue to contend for the faith. For that freedom. And we are getting ready to say something. Here's the test right here. Jesus asked the elders in this particular account, he says, why don't you ask yourself before you say something, paraphrasing a little bit, but look at the last part, whether it is from heaven or whether it's from man. Sorry, right in the middle. They were speaking about the baptism of John, but that question right there is what we should ask ourselves. Is it from heaven or is it from man? That should be the test of what we say. What about in what we do? Sometimes it's easy to say a lot of things, but the harder do those things. You've already kind of jumped around this principle a little bit, but I'll give it to you again here straight. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What can you do in the name of Jesus and have it be honored by God? You may think that the daily tasks and rituals that you perform, that God's not here paying attention to this. He doesn't care. It's not true. Everything that you do can be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. What about these things the Lord never even taught? I don't think the Lord taught the debits and credits. He knew it, but Everything that we do in the name of Jesus, because it's how we do it, right? Look at this Old Testament principle in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. It says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor does it come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. What has happened? The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not fear him, or be faithful to him. If something is claimed to be in the name of the Lord, but it was not spoken by the Lord, it's presumptuous. Pray the sinner's prayer. Spoken of by the Lord? Look it up, holy. Send me your seed money. Spoken of by the Lord? Do not go beyond that which is written. Why? Paul gave a perfect example. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, these things, brethren, I have in a figure I have transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. Why? That you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Man doesn't trump the word of God. Why? So that no one of you may be puffed up one against another. Now, this particular passage, King James translation is actually a little weak. It says here, not to think of men above that which is written. But it does not give us, of men, if you notice, it's in italics in your translation there. Starting with the American Standard Version, it says, that in us you might not learn to go beyond the things which are written. It's a little better to think about. Look at this Old Testament principle. Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, you shall not add, right? Do not add unto the word which I have commanded you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have given. That principle still holds. We do not add, we do not go above, we do not go beyond. We simply do what God has told us. Here's the last one. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. So why are we trying to add to it? Why are we trying to make it into something that it's not? Why can't we just be faithfully acting upon what God has told us? He says it's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou not unto his words, lest he reprove them, be found a liar. If we add to it, we put ourselves into it, he's going to call you the liar. I want you to think about these couple things here. Here's a couple examples then. What about Job? Job understand faithfulness? Maybe better than any man that ever walked the face of this earth. Make the argument. Just got to reread Job. Let's go. He worshiped God and stayed true to God during the midst of innumerable suffering. Things you and I could not even comprehend. He ran faith. Never gave up on God. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist, his influence, of course, starts fading when Jesus comes, right? But who does he point to? It's Christ. John doesn't get mad and start pouting. Well, I was the forerunner there for a minute. I was the guy. Now I'm not. That encounter we read this morning there to baptize him. He
says, I need to be baptized with you. You're the one.
And we point to Christ and that be faithful in him. We try to put ourselves first. Or just simply be like Jesus. Be Christ-like as we can, right? Jesus was able to be patient and faithful during those times when he was tempted of the devil. And if we remember, how did he answer him every time? From the Word of God, with Scripture. What account we noticed this morning, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't have to do that. It was no salvation to him. It was salvation to us. He didn't do it for his own sake. He did it for ours. Remember this week. Stick this kind of in your brain. Think about it throughout the week. Faithfulness is not about recognition. You notice a couple of those passages talk about we're not seeking man's witness. We're not seeking man's recognition. It's about casting that reflection out of Christ. The things that we say, the things that we do, the way that we treat people, the way that we are faithful, it all reflects back to Christ. That's what we need to be about. Leave you here with my grandmother's favorite passage. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. That's faithfulness. This morning, if you've not been faithful, there's something in your life that is taking you off of God's path. You need to remove that obstacle. I don't know what it is. Only you can understand that. Only you know that. I can't tell you, but I can tell you this, that if you can't remain faithful unto God, you're not going to receive that penny from the household. You're not going to receive that reward. The scriptures are very clear about that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that doeth the will of my Father, those that remain faithful. This morning, if we can help you remain faithful in any way, come now as we stand.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting. Yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
I do want to say one more thing. I meant to say this in my introduction. I do apologize for, I know the lessons have been a little bit longer than my norm. I'm looking at the clock back there. It's already 11:35. So I'm sorry if I could
Can always see Brother Ken down here. He'd get about 11:29, he'd be looking at his watch on me, so I love him to death, but that was always, this little thing, that was always kind of my key. So I do apologize, it's been a little bit longer than normal, but, you know, I hope that's, it's been profitable to you. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Christian. I don't think anybody have a problem with that. Please be back with us Wednesday night over here for singing this week, midweek. So please come enjoy that midweek at 7:00 Wednesday night. We'll close with 7:08, Walking in Sunlight. That's what I need right now. 7:08, Walking in Sunlight.